Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Shoup.
Rep. Henikiri Health District in this morning. We're going to talk about COVID and other things. Mary Chamberlain is back here. And also Nathan Cass, a health district nurse, is here this morning. Nathan, for you, good morning and welcome to the show. You're a first-time person, so we want to give you a good big handshake and a good welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Good to have you here, and we're going to get into a whole lot of things as you deal with what you do. Wow, Mary, you were here about a month ago, and unfortunately, things have gotten progressively worse. I mean, we were talking about schools and getting going and everything. Chancellor and Walker Grant, the two schools that have gone to virtual learning, and it's just there are a lot of concerns with the numbers right now.
Right. Unfortunately, we have gone in the wrong direction. Things are not too good right now. As always, we urge everyone to get vaccinated, everyone who's eligible. You know, it's the best layer of protection that we have, and to continue to mask, especially in public spaces. Social distancing is still important. We need to go back to the basics. I think we all got a little too comfortable over the summer, and here we are. So hopefully everybody will start realizing that we need to go back to the safety mitigations we know work.
That will be the theme this morning. Back
yes.
to the basics.
Back to the basics.
You're right, because it was funny that when schools started again and in talking to some of the school districts, and when they started talking about contact tracing and, you know, words that we hadn't heard for a while.
Right. You're right. Yeah, we hadn't heard contact tracing for a while. So, and now we're very much in the thick of it. Our contact tracers and case investigators work so hard, and it's tough sometimes to get in touch with people and to make sure that the right information is being given and being received. So yeah, kudos to that team. They're amazing.
As I understand it, most of the people that are hospitalized and most of the people that are right now really affected with the Delta variant are the people that haven't gotten vaccinated.
Absolutely. That has held true throughout. We still see that it's the unvaccinated who are getting the severe illness that leads to hospitalization and unfortunately sometimes death. So it's so important. Again, we stress it all the time, but we won't stop stressing. You know, vaccination is the key to helping us put this pandemic behind us.
Well, and since the vaccine started, the health district weekly will post numbers as far as vaccination numbers.
Yes.
for the region.
Right.
and we are lagging behind where everyone would like us to be.
Right. Yeah. So the good news is that every week when I do post those numbers, we still continue to see an increase. You know,
okay.
We're not stagnant. So upwards of maybe 1% or just under, we increase each week. So that increase is just that. It's an increase. It's more people getting vaccinated. And, you know, that's where we're optimistic. We would still like to see more. We would like to be, we're right about 60% of our adult population, 18 plus, in the four counties and city of Fredericksburg we represent, who have received at least one dose. Certainly we'd like to be higher than that. But again, we're inching there each week. We're just hoping to get, you know, maybe a couple inches each week.
And I guess it's a good idea. And there's always the encouragement for those of us who are vaccinated to talk about the experience and try to convince and just talk about it to coworkers, family members. You know, when this comes up.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think, you know, we all bear a responsibility to help our communities get to a safer place, and if that means sharing our thoughts about vaccination and how it's safe and effective and how we feel since we've been fully vaccinated. I know we've had these conversations before about feeling, you know, much safer, much just a heavy weight has been released.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. So I think in any way that we can, and it's providing accurate, trusted information to people as well. You know, there's so much misinformation out there. And it's, if, you know, you're talking to Uncle John and he happens to mention something he read online, you're like, Uncle John, where did you read that? Okay, let's take a look at that. You know, that kind of thing. Takes a little extra effort on our part sometimes, but it's definitely worth it.
Nathan, you're out in the community and dealing with things. I guess you probably hear a lot about the vaccine.
Yeah, you know, so we see a lot of people, like Mary mentioned, you know, there is vaccine hesitancy, and there's also a lot of misinformation going around online. And we're kind of at the point, you know, like Mary mentioned, we're still increasing our number of vaccinations, but not as quickly as we would like. We're reaching the point where the majority of people who haven't been vaccinated are the people who have that hesitancy, whether that hesitancy is based out of just general skepticism or not having a full picture of the vaccine, or other reasons. And that's why it's so important for us to really share our experiences, and to really reach out to that population specifically, because general, you know, the first part of the vaccine effort when we were doing our mass vaccination campaigns, you know, reaching out to everybody, you know, there was a scramble. You know, we couldn't get vaccines in arms quick enough.
Yeah.
But we've gotten to the point now where vaccines are freely available. Anybody who wants one can get one quite easily, at least in our community. And that means that the people who aren't getting them are choosing not to get them. So we really need to reach out to those people and help them understand why getting a vaccine is the best thing for them. You know, so I field calls from people in the community, in my work as supervisor of the health departments, you know, where people will ask, you know, what does the vaccine entail? Where can I get more information about it? And of course, we have plenty of information on our Rappahannock Area Health District website, on the general VDH website, which is vdh.virginia.gov. The CDC has lots of information they've put out. One thing I've heard people mention, specifically when we talk to the CDC, they say, well, the CDC has flip-flopped. The CDC has changed its mind. Why should I trust them? And what we really need people to understand is that's how science works. You know, you put out, you know, a recommendation, a suggestion, a thesis with the best information you have available at the time. Mm-hmm. But then you can't be afraid to change that recommendation as new information comes to light. So of course, recommendations that were made when the pandemic was brand new aren't going to be based in as much reality as recommendations that are, you know, coming out 18 months later. You know, we are continuously improving, continuously researching, continuously getting more information. So what I say to people when they tell me, you know, that skepticism about the CDC or other authorities, I try to help them understand how the scientific process works and that it's really about revising and reviewing and repeating. You know, it's a continuous process improvement where you take your hypothesis, you test it, and if you find that it's failing in some ways, you go back to the drawing board and make a new one and, you know, put that out. So that's how the scientific process works. And that's something we want to encourage. So it's not that it's flip-flopping. It's that it's continuously providing better information.
And we'd like with the Delta variant, if another one comes up, there may be a different way that you have to, that you'll have to act with it, have to treat it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's another thing I've heard people say is, well, you know, they put out this vaccine and now there's the Delta variant, this vaccine might not work on it. Well, the research has shown that the vaccine will help reduce the virulence of the Delta variant. Mm-hmm. It'll make, you know, if you get the vaccine, you will be less sick should you catch the Delta variant. The biggest issue with the Delta variant is that it's much more easily spread. You know, it's not necessarily that it's going to be much more dangerous once you have it, although there is some discussion about that. But the biggest issue is that it's R-naught value, which is how many people get infected from one infected person, is much higher than the original strain of the virus. So getting those vaccines will drastically reduce your ability to spread the virus to other people. And there's also the fact that as the research continues, as other variants may crop up, it may very well turn out that, you know, we need to get a booster vaccine or another type of vaccine. And that's something that people shouldn't be skeptical of. We do that with the flu shot. Mm-hmm. That's how the flu shot works. Every year they look at what strains of the flu are going around and they release a flu shot that's targeted for those strains. So this isn't something new. This isn't something, an untested process. This is something we're actually very used to and have a lot of experience dealing with. It's just a new virus as opposed to the same old flu virus that people have had every year.
Good stuff this morning. Mary Chamberlain, Nathan Cass here from the Rappahannock Area Health District. Quick break, and we will continue this discussion on News Talk 1230 WFVN.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are talking Rappahannock Area Health District this morning, and mainly we're focusing on the virus and the vaccine and those kind of things. Mary Chamberlain is here. Nathan Cass is here also from the Rappahannock Area Health District. Nathan, you said something that was really interesting a second ago when we got talking about this. Just that the people are now, the people are choosing not to. Because you're right. I can think back in January when there was first the talk of a vaccine, and I always just kept saying, my arm is here. I wanted it as soon as I can get it. Now, I mean, you can walk in. You don't have to wait to get called or wait to be on a list and that kind of thing. And like Mary said, there just is so much information out there. You just have to really sometimes just look at things with some common sense.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's one of the things that really has surprised me with this pandemic has been the distrust of traditionally accepted, you know, scientific authorities. You know, for years, we thought of ourselves in this country as a leader in science and technology and math. And then to find out that when an emergency hits, so many people are that skeptical. And it's really disappointing. You know, I really would like to see more people, you know, go back to what they were taught in school, you know, look into, you know, the information. And I get it. It's always good to be skeptical, to keep an open mind. But when you have so many people in that area of expertise coming forward and saying, please, we're begging you, get this vaccine, you know, doctors, nurses, healthcare providers, you know, scientists, pharmacists, you know, an entire field of professionals is telling you, please get this vaccine. We want to help you. And people are saying no. And it's like, to me, that doesn't make sense, you know, but I'm always willing to listen to people. And I really value the opportunity to talk to people and see where they're coming from. And I think that really carries a lot of weight, you know. So if you ever have a neighbor, a friend, you know, a coworker who, you know, has these questions, don't shut them down. Don't brush them off. You know, talk to them and see where they're coming from. Share your experiences with them, because getting that one-on-one interface with someone who they know, someone who maybe they trust, or at least trust more than the, you know, the big government or whatever, carries a lot of weight and will really help. So, you know, if you know somebody who hasn't gotten the vaccine and is open to talking, talk to them about it. You know, let them know that you want to share your experience and see if there are questions they have that you can answer. And if they have questions that you don't know how to answer, refer them to the professionals, refer them to like Rappahannock Area Health District, VDH, or the CDC. You know, these are, you know, groups and organizations that traditionally carried a lot of trust, and we really want to rebuild that. You know, we want to get back to a point where the public has faith in the public institutions.
Yeah, and you don't have to shut it down and just, you know, lose a friendship over this.
No,
these are the kind
no.
of things you can just continue to have conversations. And like you say, if you don't know, you just say, I don't know.
Yeah, no. Like, it should never be an argument. It should never be a fight. I mean, there's nothing wrong with a healthy debate. But, you know, when you're providing information to someone, you want it to be congenial. You want to take them as they are and you know, and really help, you know, help lead them to the answer that is best for them. And you're not going to convince everybody. You know, I know that working in public health, I'm not going to convince every single person out there to come get a COVID vaccine. But what I can do is I can provide accurate information. I can provide reassurance. And then it's up to the person to make their own decision. We just want to make sure that the people understand why we're recommending what we're recommending. You know, I see a lot of people saying, well, it's my body. You know, if I don't want to get the vaccine, then I won't. And you can get it. And that's up to you. And that's, to an extent, that's accurate. But part of the thing we want to help people realize is, A, you know, we don't want you to get sick. You know, that's a big one. You know, this is a very deadly disease and we don't want people to get sick and die from it. But also by getting the vaccine, you're helping protect those around you. Mm-hmm. You know, we've recently rolled out getting third dose boosters for people who are immune compromised. These are people who we still want them to get the vaccine, but we know because of their health conditions, vaccines aren't as effective for them in protecting them as they are for healthy people. And helping folks understand if your coworker, you know, maybe your coworker is getting chemotherapy, you might not even know it. Or they might be dealing with an autoimmune disease. You know, there could be people around you who haven't shared their personal medical history with you, but could be very deeply affected by your decision to get or not get the COVID vaccine. And people should be weighing that when they make those mm-hmm. decisions. It shouldn't be just about what you want for yourself. It should be, you know, we're all part of a community, and that means coming together. That's that to me, that's what community is.
Nathan Cass here from the Rappahannock Area Health District. Boy, Mary, the masks again have just it's in some ways it's discouraging sometimes when you see the discussions over the masks, because you just think if you just give this another month or so.
Right.
If we all did it, we think we'd see the numbers in a different direction.
I think so many of us thought that, you know, we get the vaccine, we're fully vaccinated, masks come off, and life goes back to normal. And for a little while,
it did.
That's what, our trusted sources let us know. So we felt more comfortable. And now we're told that, especially in areas of levels of transmission that have reached substantial or high, which is all of REHD, unfortunately, we've been in high for some time now, all of our localities, that if you're inside a public space, vaccinated or not, you should wear a mask. That goes for all children age 2 and up, mm-hmm. same recommendation for them. And it's really, you know, for me, public health aside, what I do professionally, it's just no big deal. You know,
no.
I have a lot of masks anyway.
Mm-hmm. I have one in my pocket all the time.
Yeah, I've got a bag of like 50 of them I got on Amazon, and I keep it in my car. So
yeah.
If I forget
right.
one, I just grab a new one.
Yeah.
You know, it's no fun, but it's not a big deal.
It's not. I mean, it's protecting me, and as Nathan spoke to, protecting others around me, because I don't know that I might not be carrying the virus, you know, that causes COVID-19 at any given time. So I have to think outside of myself as well. So, yeah, it's not a big deal. Well, we don't know how much longer we'll have to wear masks in public spaces. I also recommend regularly that people, even outside, if you're in a crowded situation, if there's a lot of people around you, you could be at a festival or a concert,
mm-hmm.
that's outside. So that doesn't fit the public indoor space kind of, you know, definition, but you're still close to people that are breathing around you. So I would recommend a mask in those situations as well. Again, vaccinated or not. So yeah, not a big deal for me.
And like you said, Nathan, you don't know other people's situation, and there may be someone, like you say, that you're working next to, and they're around, they're going home to someone who's got a situation or is immune compromised, or there are just a number of things. And it just, we've made a big deal out of things that don't need to be a big deal.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's you know, wearing a mask is not a big deal. It's, you're not going to suffocate. It's not going to increase the amount of CO2 you're breathing. You know, those are simply factually incorrect statements. there's not really any room for discussion on that. Like, I understand it's uncomfortable. My face breaks out if I have to wear it too long. But if that's all I have to deal with is, you know, my face breaking out and my face getting sweaty, then that's a small price. You know, it's not the end of the world. You know, it's one of those things where it's a really simple thing you can do that protects yourself, protects the people around you. And you know, it goes a long way toward helping, you know, break the cycle of reinfection.
And that's what we're looking to do right now. That's as we just struggle to try to get a hold of this. And every day I get, like, you look at the numbers and you just hope you start seeing the percent positivity is just around 10, and you just would like to see that go down some.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting how different communities respond differently to outbreaks and things like that. There's a podcast I listen to in the morning sometimes. And just this morning they were discussing how in New Zealand they've gone back into lockdown over I think it was 30 cases.
I've heard that.
And if you look at the news coming out of New Zealand, they go into lockdown at the drop of a hat, but their lockdowns are really short. Mm-hmm. And it's because every time there's a case or a small outbreak, they lock down tight. And they go into lockdown for a week and a half, and then they're able to come out of it once the cycle of infection has been broken. And, you know, we're not New Zealand. You know, our communities, the U.S. is much bigger, mm-hmm. you know, is much more spread out. But we really should be looking at adopting, you know, some sort of similar idea, because it's really that chain of infection that needs to be broken. The strategies to make that happen are going to be different based on what community we're in. But it's going to require everybody chipping in and everybody doing their part, you know, which is something that I think we could work on, you know, in our community is really getting people to everybody do their part.
And I guess doing your part, especially coming up on a holiday weekend, Mary, would be Labor Day weekend. Just be careful.
Right. We know that our behaviors have so much to do with the spread of the virus that causes COVID. So in our communities. So it's again, Nathan's been speaking so well to this morning. We all bear responsibility. We all have mm-hmm. to come together as a community. So when we go out for this long holiday weekend, you know, we shouldn't be careless and just throw caution to the wind and then come back to our communities and risk spreading more of the virus. So it's important for all of us to keep in mind, no matter what we're doing. Again, behaviors are a very big driving factor in the spread of this virus in our communities.
Mary Chamberlain and Nathan Cass here from the Rappahannock Area Health District. We will continue on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Quick break. It is now 8:31.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Rappahannock Area Health District here this morning. Nathan Cass is here. He's a health district nurse but Caroline, you're a supervisor in Caroline and Stafford?
Yes. So my primary health department is Stafford Health Department, and I'm the interim supervisor for Caroline Health Department as well.
So as we've been talking, about COVID-19 and the importance of getting vaccinated, If I'm feeling sick, this goes back even to we don't hear as much about it, but you can get tested. There are testing sites all around, right?
Yeah. So we have testing events. I believe at least every week. Is that correct, Mary?
Yeah, we've started Wednesdays and Thursdays. So we're at Bragg Hill in Fredericksburg and Stafford Hospital. But
okay.
We will be adding King George to that list and most likely Caroline as well.
Yeah, so there are opportunities to get tested. And I believe these are the PCR tests. Is that right?
They are the PCR test, and generally a turnaround time about 48 hours to get your result, so pretty quick.
Yeah, and those are really good. They're definitely the PCR test is definitely the way to go. It's more specific, and it's less likely to give you a false positive or a false negative. So we really recommend people, if they're worried that they may, you know, have COVID, go get tested, because, you know, then if it comes up positive, we can, you know, work on isolating and getting your contacts tracked down. And like I said before the break, you know, it's really breaking that chain of infection that is going to help us get our numbers down.
And even if you've had the vaccine, you can and you're not feeling well, you need to consider getting tested.
Absolutely. The vaccine, just like any vaccine, is not 100%, you know, guaranteed that you'll never get it. With the COVID vaccine, the biggest advantage is a, you know, reduction in likelihood. So you're much less likely to get COVID. But if you do get sick and get COVID after being vaccinated, the illness is generally much, much more mild. It's much less likely to result in an intense illness or a hospitalization. So you can still get COVID after the vaccine. It's just much less likely. And if it should happen, it's less intense. So that means that you're also less likely to spread it to other people.
I thought one of the great stories was earlier in the month when the Washington Nationals had to postpone a game because they had a number of players who had COVID. And I remember hearing Davey Martinez say afterwards that the four players who had it had been vaccinated, and they had nothing more than a mild cold.
Right.
And I thought, boy, now that's something that right there as opposed to if you haven't been vaccinated, who knows what situation you find yourself in.
Yeah, you know, I see posts online every day where I see, you know, some people will put together like image compilations of people, you know, like that have posted to Facebook, oh, I'm not going to get the vaccine for whatever reason. And then these people end up getting sick. And a lot of times you see them saying, you know, I should have gotten the vaccine. Not getting it was the biggest mistake of my life.
Yep.
Sometimes those people survive, sometimes they don't. And that's the biggest thing is it's, you know, I totally understand hesitancy about a new vaccine, but, you know, for me, the decision wasn't that hard because when I got vaccinated, I was one of the first people who got vaccinated in the health district back at the end of December 2020 when the vaccine first rolled out. And it was highly, you know, new. It was it was very, very, very new. And I told myself, I was like, what are the pros and cons? And to me, the biggest pro was reduced chance of death.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if you have to put anything in the pro pile, that's a pretty big one.
That's a pretty good one.
And I don't regret getting the vaccine at that time. And, in, you know, if they end up recommending a third dose booster for healthy individuals, I've intended to get one myself. And, you know, I did have to think about it, but I didn't have to think about it too long because when you're putting something up against risk of death, there you have to have a lot in the negative pile to go against that.
And the whole thing with COVID is you just don't know. You see people that are perfectly healthy have gotten it and don't make it, and you just think it hits everybody so different, and I don't want to take that chance.
No, absolutely. Like, you know, I'm not big on gambling anyway, but I'm not about to gamble with my life.
Yeah.
You know, and even people who survive having COVID, you know, there are a number of people who end up with what they're calling long COVID, which is these long-term symptoms and side effects because of the damage the virus does to your body. You know, people who 3 months after recovering still get winded walking up a flight of stairs or walking down the hall, people whose sense of taste and smell has not fully recovered, you know, all sorts of these little things that continue and persist. And it's like, why would I want to risk that, you know, when there's something that, whether you think it's tested well enough or not, there's evidence that it works. You know, you might think this is still experimental. You might think they're still developing it. You might not understand the process by which the vaccine works, but we know it does. Like there's evidence. People you know in your community have gotten it. People you know in your community have gotten it, gotten COVID and recovered well. You know, there's all this you know, available information that shows that it works, even if you have some questions about it. So to me, that means ask your questions, get some answers, but you know at the end of the day, you're gambling with your own health.
You mentioned earlier about the booster. I guess that's to be determined if, you know, when and if that will go out to the rest of us.
Yeah. So right now, the CDC's recommendation is that people who are moderately or severely immune compromised can get a third dose booster at least 28 days after their second dose. A decision hasn't been made yet about whether we're going to offer a third dose for healthy individuals. I would imagine that will be coming down the pipeline, you know, at some point this fall.
Mm-hmm.
And right now the idea that's being tossed around is getting that 8 months after your second dose. So, you know, getting your first dose and then getting your second dose of either the Pfizer or Moderna, and then 8 months after that second dose, getting the third. But like I said, that hasn't been finalized yet, but I would not be surprised if that comes down the pipe as the fall progresses.
Will that be something will you have to set up? Because like I got mine at the Expo Center. Will you have to set up areas like that to take care of people, or will it be spread out a little bit more?
My understanding at this point is that, you know, right now for the third doses for the immune compromised people, we're just having them come to the local health departments, which is where we're doing our vaccine clinics every week. I would imagine that since it's going to be at like that 8 month window kind of rollout, that we would continue to do that through the health departments. But I certainly couldn't rule out, you know, another mass vaccination campaign, but that's a decision that's made a little bit above my pay grade. So, you know, like I said, no final decision's been made about even if we're going to get the third doses for the general public. But if we do, you know, how that is implemented will certainly be communicated ahead of time.
Nathan Cass here. He's a health district nurse with the Rappahannock Area Health District. Mary Chamberlain is here, too. One other thing before we run out of time this morning. You'd mentioned to me earlier about refugees and health clinics. And there are some options and some opportunities around here.
Yeah, so obviously this is another thing that's been big in the news lately, the situation in Afghanistan and in evacuating refugees. So we do have what we call a newcomer health clinic. That's on Fridays at Fredericksburg Health Department. Mary, is that every Friday, do you know?
That's a really good question. I'll have to look at that. The schedule has changed a little bit. It may be more consistent now.
Okay, yeah, I know for a while it was like every other Friday, but I think we're doing it more regularly. But basically what this clinic is an opportunity for people who are recently arrived to the country, whether they're refugees or more traditional immigrants, to come in and kind of get an assessment of where they're at, you know, as far as their health, their immunizations. So, you know, we bring them in, they meet with a nurse, they review their immunization records if they have them. They determine, okay, what immunizations do you need to get up to par with, you know, what is expected for your age here in the U.S. If they're coming from like a country where there's a high incidence of tuberculosis, then they'll arrange for tuberculosis testing to find out if they need treatment for tuberculosis. You know, it's a whole little process, you know, and they follow them, you know, and make sure that they get everything they need from a healthcare perspective to get up and running, you know, as far as like, you know, their newcomer immunizations and healthcare status. They don't serve as like a primary care provider, but they're kind of like the first stop for people new to the community to get a first look at their health situation.
Yeah, yeah. So, wow. So and on top of everything else, I'm sure you looked at this and thought, okay, here's another thing.
Yeah, no, it's a challenge, but it's what we're here to do.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a welcome challenge. It's something, you know, our staff, it's one of the best ways for our staff to make a real impact in the community. You know, it's, you know, we do a lot of work sometimes that seems like paperwork or you know, isn't as hands-on. So anytime we have opportunities where we get to work hands-on with people and make a tangible difference, you know, that's so good for morale to know that, like, you know, everything we do is important, but when we actually get to see the people face to face and know that this person is somebody who's been positively impacted by our work, that makes all the difference in the world.
Well, you've positively impacted my life. I mean, it was one of the happiest days of my life when I got vaccinated that day. And having the Rappahannock Area Health District in our community has been just, in these times, has been just terrific. When we talk about getting good information, Mary, you're one of those people that provides that good information, and everyone should like the Facebook page of the health district, because you have all kinds of information. I really had thought earlier this summer, because really I think like there were just a couple of people in the hospital at one point, and the percent positivity was around 1% or something. It was just some ridiculously low number, and I really expected any day to get an email from you saying we're gonna stop this.
Right.
And it sure has changed, but for really good information, the health district has, and I look at a number of health districts and look at numbers and look at what they do, and there's no page better than your page.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Again, we strive to be a trusted source of information, so it's my job to make sure to disseminate what is important for our community members to know about, and then be able to explain it to them in a way they can understand. That's another thing too. There's so much information that's not really very understandable to most people. So breaking it down makes it, you know, we can have more aha moments when it comes to information. And I wanted to say something kind of fun, actually. Nathan has a very special place in my heart because he was my vaccinator. So yeah, and that's, so it's the first time I'd met him in person, because I've been working remotely coming in, and So it was a big deal for me. I got my first dose of Moderna from Nathan.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was my pleasure.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a great feeling. It's like, yes. So it's hard to forget the person who helped you, you know, to feel that way.
I had somebody from Spotsylvania Fire and Rescue do mine, and I still remember that. No, when you said, Nathan, that you got your vaccine, one of the first ones at the end of the year, I thought I would have come with you. If I'd only known you, if you had said to me, hey, do you want to come along and you can be my buddy for today? And I would have, because I said last summer, my arm is here, that I'm willing to do it. So
absolutely. You know, we want to get the vaccine in as many arms as possible, you know, so like I said, you know, engage with your friends and family members who might be hesitant, and help encourage them to come out and get that vaccine.
Rappahannock Area Health District here, Nathan Cass, Mary Chamberlain. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFA. We'll talk a little bit about this. We're going to talk about ticks when we come back, too. We'll do that in just a second.
Find innovative mobility solutions for daily life, travel, or just having fun. Hi, I'm Greg Garland, founder of EV Mobility, all electric vehicles. And I have located the most innovative solutions in carts, scooters, power wheelchairs, e-bikes, and so much more. Most mobility stores don't carry the latest lightweight innovations like this 37-pound scooter or the 55-pound wheelchair and other cutting-edge mobility products. Online, they say theirs is the best, but you don't really know what you're getting. Just the box on the doorstep. I will bring the most innovative models to you and give you the chance to try them for yourself. Together, we'll find the perfect fit for your individual needs. Recreation is also a top priority at EV Mobility. How about a single-person golf cart or an e-bike? Easy to use, lightweight, durable, fun for play and travel, or just riding around the neighborhood. Learn more at goevmobility.com. EV Mobility, here to keep you moving.
Your 2021 boating season starts and ends with Lake of the Woods Marine and Service Plaza. Stop by today to schedule service, see all in-stock inventory that's for sale, or to order your new boat for the 2022 boating season. Lake of the Woods Marine has unbeatable deals on your dream boat. And for the month of September, get boat show pricing on all in-stock 2021-22 model year inventory. Instant rebates with the purchase of a new boat, plus a free safety and accessories package. For more information, visit LOWMarine.com, where the boats are.
Do you have unsightly drywall damage? You need to call the drywall professionals at MRE Incorporated. You can get a 2x2 wall patch for only $85. Visit their website at MREINC.co. MRE Incorporated, the drywall professionals.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving for daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit GoEVMobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Hey, the cast and Mary Chamberlain here from the Rappahannock Area Health District. Before we get out of here, Mary, ticks and that kind of stuff are still out there. They haven't gone away.
They're still a public health concern with tick-borne diseases, so we just want to make sure everybody's still spending a lot of time outside, especially coming up into a holiday weekend. We'll be outside a little more, perhaps. Just make sure you're wearing your, you know, bug spray when you go out, and you're checking yourself really well when you come in. Check the kids really well. I've read from CDC one of the best things to do is actually just jump right in the shower when you come in. Mm-hmm. Not only are you washing off your sunscreen and your bug spray, but any ticks that might be crawling around, you know, could be washed off as well. So really important stuff to still stay on top of, too. It's not COVID related, but it's important.
No, it is. I mean, especially if you're hiking or you're going through the woods, right. Look over, you know, if you don't have, especially if you don't have long sleeves and
absolutely
long pants on.
Which a lot of us don't when it's very hot outside. You know, we don't have as many layers as we normally would. So, and it is important for our community as well to track those cases of, you know, tick-borne illnesses. And Nathan can speak to that a little bit.
Yeah. So, you know, should you end up with a tick on you and you start feeling unwell, one of the things your doctor may end up doing is testing you for one of the number of tick-borne diseases that we track. You know, as part of that, we get the reports of anybody who tests positive. And even with all the COVID going on, though, those reports still have to be investigated. Mm-hmm. We still have to follow up, make sure that the patient, you know, gets the care that they need. You know, most of the time, tick-borne diseases are not super, you know, I won't say not super serious, because they certainly can be. But they're usually, most of the cases we get are pretty mild ones. But if you find a tick on you, you know, obviously you want to get the tick off as soon as possible.
Yeah.
One of the best ways to do that is to dab a little Vaseline on the tick, and that will cause it to think it's suffocating. It'll actually pop out on its own.
Oh, I've never heard that.
That's one that I learned. Of course, my grandpa always had his preferred method, which was to light a match and tap the tick with the lit match, which will work, but you risk burning yourself. So maybe be careful with that. If you find a tick on you, most of the time you're not at very high risk of getting a tick-borne illness. They usually have to be embedded for you know, an hour or so before your risk of getting the disease is very high. But if you did find a tick on you, make sure to mark the spot where you found it with a little dot of permanent marker. So you can keep an eye on that spot and see if a rash develops, because most tick-borne diseases do have a rash associated with them. And if you find a rash on your body after you got bit by a tick, or you start feeling generally unwell, mm-hmm. Go check in with your doctor and see if they recommend getting a test. Because if you catch it early, all these diseases are very, very treatable.
Good information. Your grandfather and my grandfather must have hung out together, because when you said the Vaseline, I thought that would be a whole lot more enjoyable than, because that's, I've done that, had to do that when I was a kid many times.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep. That was my gramps's big thing was, you're a Schnarberg deal, and everything here, just dab a little match on it, and you'll pop right off. And it's true, but
RHD would recommend the Vaseline method.
Yes.
I like it.
Yeah.
Well, Mary, we started off, and you said it's really back to basics, and that's what it really is. I mean,
back to
distance,
basics.
Masks,
vaccination,
and get a vaccine.
Wear your masks, and get tested. Don't just assume if you have some sniffles, you're not feeling generally, mm-hmm. you know, you're unwell, you know your body, get tested. It's easy to do. We have free testing available. You can get tested at just about any drugstore now as well. It's important for us, as Nathan pointed out, to break the chain of transmission, to test, to do contact tracing, to have people isolate, quarantine. All of that's still very important.
Mary Chamberlain and Nathan Cass with the Rappahannock Area Health District, thank you both for coming. And in your case, Nathan, thank you for what you do, because you've gotten into a whole lot more in the past year and a half than you probably ever imagined.
Absolutely, but it's my pleasure. Thank you so much.
That's it. Thank you for listening. Stay safe. Get a vaccine. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFBA.